Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, Barbara and I did not conspire today. Those of you in adult Sunday school lesson will discover that I'm holding something that you all brought today. Independently, both of us calling this idea stones. So, this is a fine piece of Shenandoah County shale, okay, which has been both the bane and the blessings of hundreds of years of people in Shenandoah County. If you've ever been there, you know what it's like. But I thought about that. Did you notice how often stones are in our lessons for today? Our first lesson, we have the stoning of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. In this case, rocks were picked up and hurled in anger and violence, tearing down a life and destroying it. But as you'll notice at the end, a life who had a living stone in the fact that he forgave those who were against him. That's a stone that builds, not a stone that destroys. Same stone can be used a couple different ways. In our second lesson, particularly, we have this notion of us being called living stones. Isn't that interesting? Living stones. And in the Bible, stones are used to build up predominantly. They are built on the foundation, the rock that is Jesus. But we build houses of welcome, places of refuge, places where animals are sheltered, are all built with stone in those days. So the same stone that was picked up and hurled at someone to kill them is also called to be a living stone that builds up, encourages, forgives, and does that. So the contrast is laid before us. We got stones. What are we going to do with them? And what kind of stone are you and I going to be? Think about it a little bit. We have that choice. God does not treat us as puppets and dictate all that we do. God puts before us this concept of being some kind of a stone. We can be a stone in anger and fear and violence that is hurled against one another. And unfortunately, religion has quite often been used as a stone for wars and other things. Yes, we're not immune from that same calculation in the church. We can sometimes hurl our faith against other people, too. Even our song for the day has this story about being Jesus being the cornerstone, being the rock. So these rocks are all through there. Now, we ought to get a little sense of humor out. The Bible's full of humor. But you don't recognize it because of the language thing. But remember, what is Simon's name? Peter. And what does Peter mean? It means a fragment or a rock. And while it's not the same word that's used here, if this is the same Peter, he's having fun with himself, picking on the fact that he thought he was the big tough rock, but he was a pebble. But when God puts the pebbles together, he creates that which brings his kingdom about. Do you understand? We are the living, visible sign of God in this world. If instead of hurling stones at one another, we use the stones that we are to build up, to protect and care, forgive and nourish. This is put before us in the church. And I think that's the reason these lessons are thrown together. Now, this is true also of the gospel, though there's not a stone mentioned in it that I caught. But I think it's still relevant. This passage that is in our gospel lesson for today is very familiar. But unfortunately, we only usually read it at funerals. And while there's nothing wrong with reading it at funerals, it's a powerful message that I think we need to hear more than on just those occasions. But if you notice, it's really two things put together. Two things put together. And quite often, unfortunately, they are pulled apart and people pick and choose them. One of the ways that we in the church, and I use myself for this, I'm not putting fingers at anyone else, use our faith as a stone is we like to pick parts of scripture we like and twist it the way we want. How often have these two passages been twisted and turned, kept out of the context that they're in? Look at the end of what they're in. The first one is about the many rooms, mansions, buildings, whatever you want to call it. Dwellings is probably the most accurate to the Greek that's there. It's probably that. There are many dwelling places Jesus reminds us of. Because even in their day, there were people ready to exclude other people, to keep the church small for only the pure and the faithful. And right off the bat, before Jesus even talks about being the way, the truth, and the life, he reminds them that God has a broad view. that God loves and cares for people outside of the faithful, outside of those who look like us, act like us, think like us. That the call of the gospel is an expandatory one. It makes us grow and reach out to other people. That's a powerful part of this message. That we can't hear the second part unless we've heard that. Because if we hear that second part apart from it, I am the way, the truth, and the life, as has happened so often, people twist that to mean you either belong to my denomination or you ain't in the club. That is not what it says. Jesus ties them together. This realization that his vision, God's vision of the world, is a broad one, encompassing lots of people and cultures and nationalities and ways of thinking, then opens up the fact that Jesus becomes the vehicle that connects all of them together. I just wish that those of us in the church, including myself, were a little more humble about that. Because quite often we get so wrapped up in that we're the chosen ones, and we start picking up those rocks and fleeing. Whereas we're not called to do that. We're called to be the living rocks that live out the gospel. And you'll notice in each one of these lessons, that calling is not necessarily a popular one. In the first lesson, Stephen, he's kind of egged it on, let's be honest, but still, you know, it cost him his life. In 1 Peter, we're reminded that there's going to be opposition, and we are called to be the living rocks in the world. In the gospel, when he says, you know the way, we know what that means on this side of Easter. That means the cross. That means giving up our control of the universe and willing to let God work through us. But it is also the joyful message that you and I are the temples that God builds in this world. As imperfect as we are, as infallible as we may be, it is through us living as Stephen attempted to do in forgiveness, living as Peter called the church to do, and as Jesus called his disciples to do, with this view of reaching out in love and grace and forgiveness, that God builds his church on earth. Not in buildings. Buildings serve the church. Buildings are not the church. The church is us. You and I. As we are. Called to step away from our prides and our prejudices and our angers and our fears and dare to be living stones, not stones cast at one another and carried over. I personally am thankful that I have this connection to God, and I'm thankful that everyone here, I'm assuming, has some connection with God. But that doesn't make us better than the people that don't have that connection. In fact, it should make us want to live as best we can so that other people will see in our grace and forgiveness the greater grace and love and forgiveness of God. I believe that God has a big tent, many rooms in it. And while we may dismiss other people because we don't agree with them, or they don't think, or we even worship like we do, God calls us to be that sign of grace and forgiveness that calls those who have not known that into the family. God has a broad. I have no fear for any of us, our eternal life and all that, because that promise was given to us in our baptism. But I don't believe that means that God has given up on anyone else in this world. And that God is not going to find a way to bring grace and mercy to them. Because God doesn't sling stones. We do that to ourselves, don't we? We beat ourselves up. We beat each other up in this world. God doesn't need to beat us up. God needs to build us up on the foundation of his love and mercy. That's what living with stones. On our prayer list today, you're going to hear Kenny Stevens, who's a cousin of mine. I think it's first cousin once removed. I can never keep that stuff straight. He may be a second cousin twice removed for all I know. But I remember a time in the 80s with a little compound, as we called it, that I grew up in. I had an aunt next door and a grandparents next door, and we lived between them. My uncle, my father, and my grandfather died within 2 years of each other. Kenny, who's related to two of those, to one of those three, made sure he always came around and checked on those three widows. My brother and I both worked out of town, and we were there when we could. But it was amazing. Never took credit for it. Never asked for anything. But he was there for me. He was a living stone. In fact, at his funeral, some of you will appreciate this. One of the people was most moved by him, not a relative of his, wanted to see. And he came up with a UVA hat on. And he said, it's the only time in my life I've ever had a UVA hat because I graduated from Virginia Tech. But in honor of this person's service, I'm going to wear this hat. And while it seems simple, how often so many things drive us apart. What should be just friendly rivalries become embedded. The differences between us become enemies. How often does God call us to not be stones hurled at one another, but stones living, breathing,
giving, caring for each other.
So this day, rock. You can hurl it,
or you can be living grace.